We will now have a special number.
I didn't get a chance to stand up and give a testimony this morning, so I knew I was going to sing this, so I figured I'd try to make it real quick. The Lord has blessed me in my life and given me the ability to play the guitar and sing, and He speaks to me by giving me words to songs. And I was reading a scripture one night, and those of you, some of you have heard this before, but in Romans where it talks about, it says, I'm persuaded that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things that are, and he goes on, will separate me from the love of Jesus Christ. And I'd read that before I went to work one day, and I was working, and a bunch of words came to me, and I wrote them all down, and then the melody came to me, and I came home, and I had this song, and this song is kind of my testimony. It's called When Am I Ever Alone? I didn't project my voice enough. Upon his promise, I never will forget that on the highest mountain, the deepest valley, when am I ever alone? That in the darkest jungle, the widest prairie, when am I ever alone? When times are difficult, my faith grows more as he holds me in his hand, he calms my soul. And I know there will be times when the clouds may hide the sun, but I will rest in God's own promise. He'll see me through each one. And on the highest mountain, the deepest valley, when am I ever alone? Darkest jungle, the widest prairie, when am I ever alone? And Lord, I'll let you guide me, 'cause I know you want me to make heaven my home. Lord, you know I hurt you when you spoke so softly. You said, on the highest mountain, the deepest valley, I'll never leave you alone. In the darkest jungle, the widest prairie, my child, I'll never leave you alone. Yes, in the darkest jungle, the widest prairie, oh, when am I my
Thank you, Adam. I greet you each here this night. Thank you for coming to this service. I'm sure you're going to be blessed. If I can take just a moment, Rich promised me he'll be done before 8:30 when I have to pick up Rowan Mary, so it's okay if I spend a moment. If I could tell a story about myself to show that God's will is always accomplished. And the reason the story is on myself, because I'm embarrassed at what I did. But I was about a year and a half ago, I was at Roy and Mary's. And of course, it came time for supper. That's about, 10 o'clock in the morning. And she starts worrying about supper. And between all the menu choices she was giving me, she said, you know, who do we want to have over tonight? You know, and there's several people in the congregation there in Boise. And finally she asked me, she said, well, what if I have my daughter Karen and her new husband Rich come over? You've never met them. Now, being a missionary, that should have said, here's an opportunity. But you know what I thought to myself? I thought, what do I want to see her daughter Karen and Rich for? You know, I don't even know them. I'd rather spend my time with people in the church, you know. But I was nice to her, saying, well, go ahead and bring your daughter and her husband over and, you know, we'll have a good time. And afterwards, I started thinking opportunity, and I'm sure Karen and Rich were gone. They got a missionary over there. We're in trouble tonight, you know. But we met. We met that time. And you know, here it is a year and a half later, and now he's going to be standing here preaching. And I'm not saying that I had anything to do with it, because I didn't enter into our relationship of being friends properly. I should have been ready to pounce on him the second he walked in that door, and I didn't, you know, but the Lord did. The Lord knew it was in store for Rich, and he used Mary, and he used Rich, and he used Karen, and he used a lot of people to bring him here. And I was in Boise not long ago, and I said, you know, we're getting ready to schedule for our reunion. If they looking for preachers or something, are you willing to help out? He said, yeah, sure. I'll do anything you want me to. Now, he may be reconsidering that at this moment. I don't know, but there's about 180 extra eyes looking at him today than he's used to. But he guarantees me if he gets through the first minute, he'll be just fine. And I'm sure he'll get through the first minute, because I know that he's dedicated. He was ordained not long ago, and he jumped right into work. You know, he began taking care of the congregation and helping Roy and doing the things the Lord called him to do. So I ask that tonight that you give your prayerful and careful attention to our brother, Elder Rich Bove. Richard.
Everybody hear me? Okay. Well, Brian, you just did about half my sermon right there. I can't say what a true blessing it is to be here, because for the past several months now, Karen, Trish, and I, we've been literally counting down the days to come up to Phoenix. And the job that I have, it's not very easy at this time frame to take time off, but I looked at my boss and I said, I need to go down there. And I don't care if I go negative in my days off, but it's well worth it. And I started preparing this sermon, and I got to thinking that, you know, why is it such, it just hits home so much to be at a reunion. Because like Brian was saying, that it was a very short time frame for me to have religion enter into my life. It was a short time frame for me to be called into the ministry. And when I talk about reunions, it just brings to heart that the importance of a reunion and why the people from all over the country are coming to these things. And if you'll indulge me, I'm going to kind of do things a little bit differently. And At this time, I'm going to ask everybody to close their eyes. And this is something that you probably never ever dreamed about doing in church. And I want you to think about yourself laying in bed this morning. You're all nice and cozy. You're all nice and warm. Most of you are probably holding your teddy bear. Some of you are probably thinking about Hubert right about now, but let's stay focused. You're thinking in bed, you're saying, it's Friday morning. I know it's going to be a beautiful day outside. And coming from Boise, that's to say quite a bit because it's beautiful weather here. It's going to be nice outside. I don't remember if I have any plans this morning. I don't remember if I have any plans this weekend. And you're probably asking yourself, what am I going to do for the rest of this weekend? How am I going to spend my Friday, Saturday, and Sunday? Maybe I'll go out and go camping. Maybe I'll go out and go hiking. Maybe I'll go find somebody with a boat and go fishing with them or go water skiing with them. Maybe I'll just call up my friends and ask them if they want to go out and just disappear for a while with not a care in the world. This sounds great. What a wonderful plan I have. And I think I'm going to start this plan. I'm going to start my weekend the second I wake up at the crack of noon. Brothers and sisters, open up your eyes. Take a look around you. Where are you at? You're in a church. Where's the lake? Where's the mountain? You're amongst friends. You're amongst family. You're in a church on a Friday. What happened? I thought everybody asked themselves they were going to disappear for the weekend with not a care in the world. Brothers and sisters, take a good look around you. Today you all made the right choice. You all made the right choice to be here, to start this reunion, to have fellowship, to be with your family, to be with your church family. I never knew that my family could grow this big. Knowing the past that I had, I never thought that I'd be up here. I never thought that I'd be in a church, especially on a Friday night. But like Brian said, that God had a special plan for me. God's got a special plan for everybody. And it was at a reunion that changed my life forever. And this may sound like a plug for the Idaho reunion, but this is where it was the start of my new life. I had no religion in me. None whatsoever. Almost 4 years ago, I met Karen. And shortly after I met her, we started dating for a while, and things were going really, really good. And then she asked me, she goes, "Rich, I'd like you to meet my parents." I thought, hey, Why not? I don't have any worries about that. Well, what was failed to mention is Karen's dad was a minister. And after I heard that, I looked at Karen and I said, there's no way I'm going to make it. I don't have religion in my life. And he's a minister. But she kept on reassuring me, saying, Rich, everything's going to be okay. You just got to meet my parents. You got to meet my dad. You got to meet my mom, especially my mom. And I kept on talking to myself, saying, you know, I'm starting to fall in love with Karen. I know I can do this. I know I can meet her parents. Everything's going to be fine. But back then, I still didn't even know that God had a specific plan laid out for me. Well, if anybody has met Roy and Mary, you know deep in your hearts that I didn't even stand a chance not to fall in love with these people too. And I met them on Mother's Day, and we went to a restaurant to eat, and I bought Mary some flowers and handed them to her, and in comes Roy walking in there, and it was almost like piercing eye contact between the two of us, and that. We did our greetings, we said hello, and sat down, we ordered breakfast, and I think at the time, Roy and I were actually trying to have like a little eating contest, and we ordered like the Iron Man omelet or something like that, and we wasn't about to leave that restaurant until both of us had finished that omelet, and when we came out of there, we were hurting pretty bad, and after I met him, I did fall totally in love with with Roy and Mary. They're beautiful people inside and out. As time went on, I started weighing out a lot of the options that I had on the table. I started falling in love with Karen. I know I didn't have religion in me. Her dad was a minister. Now, if you see where this story is going, of how my life has changed so quickly, it's because now I have religion in me. And it was at a reunion when religion entered into my life. Well, I asked Karen to marry me. And I think her answer was yes. Was it yes? Okay. Her answer was yes. And I said, this is fantastic. And I asked her, I said, you know what? I think it would be a great idea if we had Roy perform our wedding ceremony. And I would like to kill two birds with one stone. I said, and I'm going to ask, I'm not going to break tradition. I'm going to go ask him if I can have his daughter's hand in marriage. And we set up a dinner appointment at their house, and I went there, and we had dinner, a lot of dinner. And went out to the living room. Karen and Mary were in the kitchen. I guess they were preparing dessert for us. And I went up to Roy, and I asked if I could have his daughter's hand in marriage. And he looked at me and he said, yes. Under one condition. We got to go through premarital counseling. Saying that to somebody with no religion was a scare of a lifetime. And when he said that to me, you know, I said, well, I love Karen. I'll go through with this. I can do it. Because I'm not going to lose Karen. But I didn't know at the time that Roy and Mary, from the day that they met me, they were slowly introducing religion into my life. Day by day. Sometimes I wasn't ready to accept it, but now I look back and I kind of kick myself saying, you know, why did I let that happen? Why didn't I accept it sooner? And the Lord does work in mysterious ways, and it is through these beautiful reunions that we're at. Well, shortly after that, Karen and I, we got married. And Roy and Mary invited us to go camping with them in the first part of June. And what they failed to tell me at the time was that was the Idaho reunion. So I looked at that and I'm like, oh, great, we're going to go camping, you know. And Karen and I, we loaded up the car, loaded up the tents and sleeping bags. And Roy and Mary brought their camper. And it's a very small camper. And they said, you know, don't sleep out in a tent. Sleep out with us in the trailer. And then they told us that it was the Idaho reunion. And we asked, you know, I asked them, like, you know, what all goes on there? And I found out I was scared. I was very, very close to not going. I pictured in my head, you know, some bad thoughts about people with religion, you know, bald heads and robes and little tambourines and stuff like that, but surrounded by a campfire and a whole bunch of tents. And I'm like, you know what? We're just going to go and see what it's all about. We're going to try this new reunion. Well, we got there and pulled up, and Brother Jim had a flat tire on his trailer, or I think it was a broken leaf spring or something like that. We pulled up there and we got out of the car, and I went over there and see if he wanted help. And then he got out from under the trailer, and I'm okay. And it was nothing that I ever pictured in my life. The people that were there. We spent time with them. Most of the Phoenix people were there, which is good because Idaho only has about 10 people. But we spent time with them. We started talking with them and having long conversations, which I now know was fellowship. We went to every service. Karen and I were so spiritually lifted throughout the whole time that we were there. And it was on that Sunday, Sunday night, and it was the final service, and Brother Hubert was given the sermon. I didn't really know him at the time, but I could have made two and two that he was Brother Jim's father because of the beautiful people. And I started listening to the sermon. And Hubert's sermon was about who are you going to serve? And we listened to that throughout that whole sermon, and it wasn't until the latter part of that service where Hubert asked that question again. And Hubert, I got to do this. And Hubert came out, and he was not more than, can anybody hear me? Okay. He was not more than probably 5 feet away from me. I was sitting down, and Hubert asked that question. And he points at me, directly at me, and he goes, who are you going to serve? Who are you going to serve? Right when Hubert asked that question, my body started shaking like a leaf. I had a tingly feeling all through me. The hairs on my arm stood straight up. I started crying. I couldn't stop crying. I looked over at Karen and I said, Karen, what's going on with me right now? What is going on? And she looked at me and she goes, Rich, you have just been touched by the Holy Spirit. The who? I asked. And she told me again. And I said, Karen, this is a wonderful feeling. I could not stop crying. I walked out of that service. And for those of you that know the trail that goes down towards the docks at our reunion, I walked down there and I didn't cry. I didn't stop crying until I got down to that dock and walked back. And I looked at Karen again. I said, Karen, this is such a beautiful feeling. I was consumed. Religion finally entered into my life during a reunion. At a point in my life where I didn't think I was going to even accept religion. Well, I couldn't wait any longer after the reunion. Karen and I, we were so spiritually uplifted from that. We went home and I think we invited Roy and Mary over for dinner. And I asked Mary, I said, would it be okay if Karen and I attend church once in a while? Well, I think her answer was, well, yeah. So we got there, and first time we went to church, Karen and I had no idea. Roy was going through the scriptures, and he's like, okay, First Peter, and he's flipping through the Bible. By the time he was done with the scriptures, we finally found where he was reading. And he was already going on to his next scripture. But that was okay. That was okay. We kept on it. We kept on it. We read more and more into the Bible and the Book of Mormon. But most importantly, I was learning about God. What that was all about. Some time went on. Karen and I, we didn't miss a Sunday service after that. And I started getting curious about baptism. I started asking myself, Who's able to get baptized? Why do people get baptized? When do they get baptized? So I started reading more. And if you would turn with me to page 108. And I'm going to start on verse 42. But behold the righteous, the saints of the Holy One of Israel, they which have believed in the Holy One of Israel, they which have endured the crosses of the world and despised the shame of it. They shall inherit the kingdom of God, which was prepared for them from the foundation of the world, and their joy shall be full forever. Oh, the greatness of mercy of our God, the Holy One of Israel. For he delivereth his saints from that awful monster of the devil, and death, and hell, and that lake of fire and brimstone, which is endless torment. Oh, how great the holiness of our God, for he knoweth all things, and there is not anything save he knows it. And he cometh into the world that he may save all the men, if they will hearken unto his voice. For behold, he suffereth the pains of all men, yea, the pains of every living creature, both men, women, and children, which belong to the family of Adam. And he that suffereth this, that the resurrection might pass upon all men, that all might stand before him at that great and judgment day. And he commandeth all men that they must repent and be baptized in his name, having perfect faith in the Holy One of Israel, or they cannot be saved in the kingdom of God. And if they will not repent and believe in his name and be baptized in his name, and I want to stop and point out, and endure to the end. Sounds easy, doesn't it? But it's not. They must be damned. For the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, hath spoken it. Now after I read that, verse 50, that he hath spoken it. He wasn't just hinting around to me. That was a commandment to me. I needed to change my life. I'm going to turn to page 161. Chapter 13. Nope. Sorry, 162. I'm just going to read verses 18 through 20. Oh. Sorry about that. I lost my place here. Back to 161. Sorry. And I'm going to start with verse 7. And now if the Lamb of God, he being holy, should have not have need to be baptized by water to fulfill all righteousness, oh, then how much more need have we, being unholy, to be baptized, yea, even by water? And now I would ask of you, my beloved brethren, wherein the Lamb of God did fulfill all righteousness in being baptized by water. Know ye not that he was holy? Notwithstanding he being holy, He showeth unto the children of men that according to the flesh he humbleth himself before the Father, and witnesseth unto the Father that he would be obedient unto him in keeping his commandments. Wherefore, after he had baptized with water, the Holy Ghost descended upon him in the form of a dove. And again, it showeth unto the children of men the straitness of the path and the narrowness of the gate, by which they should enter, he having set the example before them. And he saith unto the children of men, follow thou me. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, can we follow Jesus? Say we shall be willing to keep the commandments of the Father? And the Father saith, repent ye, and be baptized in the name of my beloved Son. And also the voice of the Son came unto me, saying, he that is baptized in my name, to him will the Father give the Holy Ghost, like unto me. Wherefore, follow me, and do the things which ye have seen me do. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I know that if ye shall follow the Son with full purpose of heart, acting no hypocrisy and no deception before God, but with real intent, repenting of your sins, witnessing unto the Father that ye are willing to take upon the name of Christ by baptism. Yea, by the following your Lord and Savior down unto the water according to his word, behold, then shall ye receive the Holy Ghost. I now knew who the Holy Ghost was. Yea, then cometh the baptism of fire and of the Holy Ghost. And then can ye speak with tongue of angels and shout praises unto the Holy One of Israel. Well, after reading more and more into the scriptures, this is when Brian was took part of my sermon. Roy Mary had Brian, I guess you were there, about 3 days, something like that, was down there, and they invited Karen and I over to have dinner. And after dinner, Roy, Brian, and I were in the living room. And I leaned over to Brian and I asked him, when do you know it's ready? When do you know that you're ready to be baptized? And he looked at me and he said, you'll know. You'll know. Well, a few weeks went by, and I just got more and more consumed with this newfound religion that I had, and I could no longer wait. Went to church on that Sunday and went up to Roy, and I said, Roy, I want to be baptized. And it kind of startled him, and he's like, great. And I was ready. I wanted to be baptized. That time frame wasn't a really good time for Roy. He just recently came out of heart surgery. Very, very weak. And they called Brian back up to Idaho to perform the baptism. And in that time frame, Karen even decided too that she wanted to be baptized. And we got baptized together. And when Brian fully submersed me in that water and brought me back out of it, what a feeling of sweet relief. That's a feeling like no other. But that wasn't the end of it. I didn't know that I had more work to do. I never expected for me to be up here. But God had a plan. After I got baptized, several months went by, and there was a moment of time where my faith was being put to the test. I was tried. I was tempted. I almost gave up on religion that I just recently got. And I kept on saying, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if this is going to work. I was afraid. I felt alone. But I was at my most spiritually low point in my life when Jesus was there for me the most. It wasn't easy for me. I almost did leave the church. Then I started reading again. And on page 162, 2 Nephi, chapter 13, I started reading, and I started on verse 18. But behold, my beloved brethren, thus came the voice of the Son unto me, saying, after that ye have repented of your sins, and witnessed unto the Father that you are willing to keep my commandments by the baptism of water, and have received the baptism of the fire and of the Holy Ghost, and can speak with new tongue, yea, even with tongue of angels, and after this should deny me. That was my clincher. I was about ready to do that. Then I read on. It would have been better for you that ye had not known me. Now I had something more to be afraid of. And I heard a voice from the Father saying, yea, the words of my beloved brethren, the words of my beloved are true and faithful. And here we go again with that saying. He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. Well, it didn't take a brick to fall on my head. I wasn't about to quit the church. I stuck with it. And I was at my lowest point. And I'm glad I stuck with it. Because there's no turning back for me now. I realized that I needed to endure to the end. And that this was a lifetime commitment that I couldn't just easily give up. And I knew it wouldn't be easy just stepping outside the door, you know it's not going to be easy. We're going to be tempted. There's people out there that don't understand us. But that's okay. That's okay. We're going to be tempted every step of the way. But look who's on our side. And he's unbeatable. He's unbeatable. Well, as time went on, I got back into the church, started reading more into scriptures. I started having dreams of me standing behind a podium preaching to people. I didn't tell Karen. I didn't tell anybody because I didn't understand what those dreams was all about. But it was so vividly clear that I was standing up behind a pulpit preaching to people. At our most recent Idaho reunion, and I know this sounds like I'm plugging Idaho again, but and you guys are all invited next year too, so please be there. But it was at our Idaho reunion, the most recent one that we did have, that the Spirit was so strong throughout the entire time that we were there. And I felt that something was going to happen while we were there. I didn't know what. But the Spirit was so strong. And it was a week later that Colorado was holding their reunion. I looked at Karen and I said, Karen, I can't let the Spirit die. I feel so good. What do you think the chances of us going to this Colorado reunion are? Well, Karen being her own boss, she had her chances were pretty good, but I went back to work and I started talking to my supervisor and I told her the awesome feeling that I had during this reunion and that I didn't want to let it end. And it's pretty uneasy feeling when you make your supervisor cry. But she gave me the time off. She even told me to go home that day. We went to the Colorado reunion. And I started talking to some people over there, and they said that Phoenix brought that spirit to Colorado with them. And I felt it. Everybody felt it at Colorado. That Sunday, during service, Brother Brian stood up and gave a calling. Two callings that day. He called me. And he called my brother Andrew. And during that whole entire Colorado reunion, Karen and I sat on the left side of the church. There was no other seats available. But on that Sunday, somebody had taken the seats that we were at, and the only seats that were available at the time was right next to the Browns. Karen sat right next to Andrew. I didn't consider this a coincidence. I think this was God's will. I never expected that religion would be with me. When I was 2 weeks old, I was baptized as a Roman Catholic at 2 weeks old. I don't know what I sinned against to be baptized. And I never ever dreamed that I would be up here standing in front of a congregation. And Brian can attest to this, that I was very nervous to be up here today. My hands are still sweating right now. My parents questioned it because they were born and raised Roman Catholic. But it was at a reunion, another reunion, that God revealed His plan to me, what I was going to do for the rest of my life. If there's brothers and sisters out there that are searching, or if you're undecided whether you should be baptized or not, or if there's brothers and sisters out there that are undecided if they're going to the right church, I'd like to read in 3 Nephi, page 672. And I'm going to start with verse 12. And it came to pass that they do all things, even as Jesus had commanded them. And they which were baptized in the name of Jesus were called the Church of Christ. Let's skip over to verse 18. Have they not read the Scriptures, which saith, ye must take upon you the name of Christ, which is my name? For by this name shall ye be called at the last day. And whoso taketh upon me, whoso taketh upon him my name, here we go again with that verse, and endureth to the end, the same shall be saved at the last day. Therefore, whatsoever ye shall do it in my name. Therefore, ye shall call the church in my name. And ye shall call upon the Father in my name, that he will bless the church for my sake. And how be it my church, save it be called in my name. For if a church be called in Moses' name, then it be Moses' church. Or if it be called the name of a man, then it be the church of a man. But if it be called in my name, then it is my church. If it so be that they are built upon my gospel. Verily I say unto you, that you are built upon my gospel. Therefore you shall call whatsoever things you do call in my name. Therefore if you call upon the Father for the church, if it be in my name, the Father will hear you. Brother Andrew, what's the name of our church? the Church of Christ. I think we're in the right church. Standing up here, reflecting back on my life, knowing the past that I had in my life, I had different goals in life. My goals have changed. And for those people that are out there and they're searching, they've reached that age of accountability. They're deciding whether or not to be baptized, or if they are in the right church. I'd ask that you don't waste precious time. Bring the Lord into your life. What a beautiful reward if we endure to the end. At this time, I'd like to ask everybody to look around you. Look around to all these beautiful brothers and sisters that have committed their lives to God. And if you're undecided, keep looking. Ask them questions. Read scriptures. And for those brothers and sisters that have entered into the waters of baptism, it's not easy. But if you hold strong to that rod of iron and never, ever let go, and stay true, what a beautiful thing. I wanted to bring out the importance of a reunion to me and to everybody here. It's not just about eating. It is about spending time with your loved ones, spending time with your family, your church family, to have wonderful fellowship with others, to bear witness, to hear testimonies. Brothers and sisters, when I asked you to close your eyes and ask that question, what am I going to do this weekend? This is what you're doing on your Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And you did the right thing. And in closing, I'd like to ask everybody to invite the Lord in. To be with us, both spiritually and temporally. Ask the Lord to be with us throughout the entire time of this reunion. Listen to the many wonderful words of the gospel. Open up your hearts. Clear your minds. Don't become easily distracted. Stay focused. Stay in tune. And be with the Lord. I love you all. And thank you for sharing this time with me in remembering our Lord. Thank you.